Good morning. If you would, if you'd like to follow along where we're reading, the bulk of our text today is going to be taken from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 9. We're going to kind of look into this one verse. I was reading Philippians and how many times, Dick, for the 851st time, and it just, this verse just kind of jumped out at me, and I appreciate Van for reading it earlier during our scripture reading. Paul wrote, he says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Says an awful lot in just one verse. And I'd like for us to look at this, kind of break it down into the different components of this one verse. Paul says the things that you learned and received. You know, they just didn't hear the words. And that's important. How many times do people hear things, but they don't accept it? They hear it, but it doesn't sink in. I'm reminded of that cartoon, the big rooster Foghorn Leghorn. You know, "Boy, I'm pitching and you ain't a catching." You're hearing the words. They learned and received. I was thinking just the other day as about this. As I'm driving around, I like listening to talk radio. I don't know if it's so much I'm listening to the words or if it's just soothing to me. I'll be driving along and I'll think back. I have no idea what was just being talked about. I heard the words. I heard the words, but what were they saying? It sure didn't have an impact on me because it just kind of went in one ear and out the other. The Philippians, Paul is telling them the things that you learned and received. You know, they took it to heart. It made an impact on them. Many times people hear and reject the Word of God. It amazes me how many people can hear the message of the Word of God as plain as day. God does not talk in secret code. He wants His people to understand what He's telling them. And Paul is telling the Philippians the things which you learned and received. In Acts 2, verses 40 and 41, this is the day of Pentecost. And after the Apostle Peter had preached that sermon and had told them to repent and to be baptized, in verse 40 it says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." There was a huge crowd there. About 3,000 of them heard and received it. But not everybody. Not everybody that heard that message took it to heart and did something about it. And we see that concept played out in real time. In 1 Corinthians 18, verse 8, it says, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. They didn't just hear the word. It had an impact on them. They believed it. And they did something about it. It shows the clear, concise results of hearing and receiving the word of God. Paul goes on to say that the things that you heard from me. Well, what was it that they had heard? They had heard the Apostle Paul's teachings. He wasn't there. He's writing a letter to them, but he's reminding them of the things that you had heard from me. And it just wasn't, I think, I feel, in my opinion. It's the inspired word of God. That's what they heard. They heard the Apostle Paul, not Joe Blow off the street, giving them his commentary on something. I think it'd be good for you to do that. No, this was the words of the Apostle Paul, who was inspired by God. This was the inspired word of God that they had heard. Romans 10:17, Paul also wrote to the Romans. He says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the foundation. Hearing God's word, that's the first thing that's going to take place in the building blocks of salvation. No one has ever been saved without first hearing the word of God. And Paul is mentioning to the Christians in Philippi these things that you heard from me. The things that you saw. His examples. During the time that Paul was in Philippi on his missionary journeys, they saw his efforts and works, the things that he did. And one of the things that they would have taken in, they would have seen the zeal, the passion he had in carrying out his works. That's big, because how many times do we see, Jesus talked about this, when you do your good works, are you doing it to be seen by men? Or are you doing it to glorify God? Are you doing it blowing a trumpet? Everybody look at me, what I'm doing. We're in an election season. When these people running for office that you haven't seen for a long time, now they're out in public. Tie undone or not, sleeves rolled up like they're a working stiff. Are they doing it because they care? And I'm not accusing. It's a question. Are they doing it because they care? Because they may. Or are they doing it for the photo op? Paul is saying the things you saw, they saw his zeal. They saw the things that he did many times. Worried, many times weary, beyond sleepy. But he kept going. They saw that. They saw that example in him, taking every opportunity in any and all circumstances to be able to teach the word of God. They saw Paul do that. They saw his prayer life. They saw how many times he would bow and pray to God. Maybe even joined in with him. I'll tell you, you get to and this is a future lesson, you get to know a lot about an individual through their prayers. We've looked at some of the prayers of Jesus. There's a prayer by Paul I want us to look at down the road. But they saw him pray. They saw how he dealt with others. That's important. They saw how Paul acted when people accepted the words that he preached. And they saw him, how he dealt with people when they rejected the words he preached. When people embraced Paul and when people rejected Paul. They got to see how Paul reacted in all those things. They saw how he dealt with sufferings. The letter he's writing them, this Philippians 4, verse 9, is part of a letter Paul wrote to the Philippians. He wrote it from Rome in jail. They got to see how he dealt with sufferings. How many would maybe be inspired to go the extra mile because of Paul? How many would get that little bit of extra oomph because Paul had blazed the trail for them and they saw what he had done? I can do it too. And then on the other hand, we do not know how many of them might have, this ain't for me. I ain't cut out for that. You know, I didn't know these things when I said I wanted to be baptized. I didn't know I was going to have to do all this stuff. But they saw, those are some of the things they saw in Paul. They had learned and received. They'd heard. They'd seen. They saw Paul do things. In Philippians earlier in the book, in chapter 1, he says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ." They were worried about him. They had a close relationship with Paul. You look at the totality of his letter to the Philippians. He had a close relationship with them. He cared for them, and they for him. They were worried that he was in prison. This is as much of a letter to them as, "Chin up, bucko. You know, I'm okay. I've heard you're worrying about me. I'm hanging in there." And he goes on to tell them that, you know, all these things that's happened has happened for a reason. The people that I'm around up here in Rome, they've seen things in me too. You saw things in me, but they've seen things in me. And they realize, we may have him captive, but he's chained to Christ. I don't know so much if we have him or if he's got us, because he's preaching to us every day. In Acts 16, that one chapter, people have been able to see his example of the teaching and the baptism of Lydia, him taking opportunity. He looks over there, some women are praying. They're already there praying. He approaches them, and it ends up with Lydia and her family being baptized. They saw how he conducted himself while imprisoned in Philippi. How the Philippian jailer was scared to death, thinking that he had lost the prisoners. They saw how Paul conducted himself. How at midnight, singing praying, the teaching of the baptism of the jailer itself. They saw all those things. And he goes on to say, after all of these, the things you saw, you heard, you learned and received, these do. Do them. Not do as I say, but do as I do. These things that Paul had written to them, the things that Jesus teaches us, Ann brought up a wonderful point today in the Sunday morning Bible class, that basically it doesn't matter how much passages you can quote if you're not living them. You can quote book, chapter, and verse all day long, but if you're not living up to it, Paul's saying, do it. Don't just listen and hear and see and tuck it away. Do it. These do. Because if you don't do these words that I've said, it's just empty words. Just empty words. Romans 12:6, Paul tells the Romans, very similar like he told the Corinthians, we've got different gifts. We've got different talents. Some of us do this. Some of us do that. And he says in verse 6 in Romans, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. What good is having a talent if you're not going to use it and maximize it? I tell you, that was one of my pet peeves as a coach. Seeing an athlete that potentially could do X, Y, or Z, but just never did it, never pushed themselves. And Paul is telling them, whatever it is that you've got as a gift, let us use them. Goes right, you know, do it. And this is the consequences. I think you were mentioning, Stacy, in Bible class about the consequences of things. How many times has Paul taught this idea of you reap what you sow? You do these things, and what will be the result? And the peace of God will be with you. How do you explain to somebody that doesn't know it, somebody that doesn't have the peace of God, how do you explain that to them? How do you explain the color red to a blind person? How do you explain something that nobody has the concept of? This true peace, and we've discussed this before. We're not talking peace, the absence of conflict. We're talking sometimes peace in the midst of conflict. In spite of it, smack dab right in the middle of it. This is true peace. And it is only found in God. Only found in Him. You do these things, the things that you learned and received and saw in me, these do. And if you do that, the peace of God will be with you. He will say just verses right before this passage that we're looking at, Paul tells the Philippians, he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. And then he has this verse in verse 9 that we've based our lesson from. And right after that verse, in verse 11, he says, he's continuing his thought. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. It's learned. Doesn't come naturally to us as people. He's learned it through a lot of effort. I'd like to read it one more time, and then the lesson is yours. From a jail cell in Rome, Paul wrote to the Philippians, and it applies to us as much today as it did to them. He says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Very black and white, very clear cut, no hidden messages, no if you play it backwards, John Paul, George, and Ringo will be saying something. No, it's pretty straightforward, okay? If you need to respond to the invitation is always open. We here at South Valley, we hope that our visitors, you will feel welcome and return at the next opportunity that you have. If you have any questions religiously by us, we would love to study more with you. If anybody has sin in their life and need to repent, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. He also says in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you need to be baptized, if you would like to identify with worshiping with us here at South Valley, whatever your need, if you have prayers that you would like for us to pray with and for you, we would be glad to do that. Let's stand and sing as Frank leads us in the invitation song. If you have a need, please come forward.